Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It's a brand new, bright new day in the ACC, divisionless football coming in 2023. We've talked about this before, but now it's actually happening. And we know the format, and we know the permanent opponents, and people can stop yelling at me and Matt Fortuna for saying that Syracuse was going to be one of Florida State's permanent opponents, because they were. Turns out we were right. How about that? Joining us is The Athletic's Grace Rayner. She covers recruiting, the Clemson Tigers, you name it. And she right now is, you're currently in your parents' basement ready to fire off some takes, right, Grace?
I'm like in the perfect place to really stir some things up. Yes, in the old parents' basement. Never played football before either. Here we go.
Oh. Well, you're just not allowed to have an opinion on anything. How dare you? Yes, I've also never played basketball at a very high level, so I don't feel like I should talk about the ACC at all. So, but that's okay. No, this is good. I appreciate the ACC for dumping this in a time when there's not a lot of, we've had all this crazy news all summer or all off season. There's been kind of a lull. And I know the listeners are like, no more Arch Manning for a day or two, please. Even though Texas did get another big time recruit on Tuesday, but this is interesting because this is nice and tangible. We're going to see the SEC do something like this. I think we're going to see the Big Ten do something like this. But this is the first one of these because the Pac-12 said they're going to play. They've already created the schedule for this year, but they're going to do number one versus number two in their conference championship game. We don't know exactly what they're going to do going forward. This is the first time one of these leagues has said, here is what we're doing going forward. And it is still 8 conference games, because remember, 5 ACC schools have to play Notre Dame in a de facto conference game, so they weren't going to go to 9. But 5 rotating opponents, 3 permanent opponents, and you face everyone in the league twice every 4 years. Grace, when you looked at it and kind of looked at the different matchups, how'd you feel?
Well, I was excited that we finally got rid of the divisions, first and foremost. I thought that was long overdue. I think a lot of the matchups they got right. I will say I thought that not having Virginia Tech Miami surprised me. I thought that was a big one. And I thought that not having Wake Forest NC State as another permanent one was a big one. So those were the ones that jumped out to me. You and I chatted about this a little bit off air when we both did our mock hypotheticals. I don't think either one of us knew what to do with Louisville. I don't know that the ACC did either. But yeah, I mean, I think largely it's a really positive thing, and I think it's a good thing for the conference.
Yeah, nobody's going to have divisions anymore. And I know I've had fans write to me, but I like divisions and I like the division races, but it's not conducive to getting teams into the playoff, whether the playoff stays at 4 or whether the playoff expands. I mean, what's the one year the ACC got 2 teams into the playoff?
Right.
They played a divisionless schedule.
The year there was no division.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also Notre Dame was playing a conference schedule and counted as an ACC team, but that's neither here nor there. You have a better chance of having the best champion won and also not getting knocked out by a fluky division winner that knocks your champion out of the playoff or knocks the team with your best record out of the playoff. And the thing is, if the playoff expands, now you have a better chance of getting multiple teams in because you're giving a good team that may have a blemish another chance to get a quality win, and that may get them both into the playoff in that scenario. So it's going to be an interesting deal to see it shake out in the other leagues. I'm glad the ACC's done this now, and we can see it here. Now, we got to pour out a little bit, Grace. Pour out a little for our dear departed Coastal Division.
There's
only one more chance for the dream season in the Coastal. The Coastal already did the seven in a row. Seven different teams won the Coastal in seven different years. That was amazing. That was almost peak Coastal, but peak Coastal would be all seven teams finish 4-4 in conference play. Make it happen.
It's Coastal going to teams. Happen. You know it's going to happen. There's no way that the Coastal is just going to retire quietly. Like, it's going to be bonkers.
I'm afraid, given the exodus at Georgia Tech, given that Miami has a good quarterback.
This is true.
That the 4-4 seems hard for either one of those for different reasons. So this is
which
this
one
is
you a, think is more likely? Georgia Tech going 4-4 or Miami going 4-4?
I guess Miami, because Georgia Tech winning four games in the league is hard to imagine right now.
That's fair.
So fair. Miami, I guess some wheels could fall off or something crazy could happen. But yeah, and so all right, Grace, let's do this one last time. Put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Name the teams in the Coastal and the teams in the Atlantic. You had better get this right.
Name them. Okay. I always forget a bunch of them, if we're being honest. Okay. I'll start Atlantic. All right. So they're 7-7. So Clemson, Boston College, Syracuse, Florida State, Louisville, NC State, and who is the seventh one I'm always missing? Who's the seventh one?
It's bad that I'm actually looking at all the teams. No, it's Syracuse.
I thought I said Syracuse. Who did I miss?
Wait, you didn't say? Oh, you said Syracuse?
Clemson, Syracuse.
You say Wake?
Wake. Oh, okay. Gosh. Wake. I didn't have their say the program this year, and that threw me for a loop. Okay, that's Atlantic. All right, Coastal. This is where I always get it wrong. Georgia Tech, UNC, Duke, Pitt, Miami, shoot.
You got two in the same state.
Two in the same state.
That you haven't named yet.
Dang it, I always get these wrong.
Virginia and Virginia Tech. It is so hard. It was Legends and Leaders, I think, was harder. But the ACC one, it was just... none of it. It was never made logical sense because they didn't do it geographically, and they didn't do it. I realized that I think the initial idea was you separate Florida State and Miami. They would play every year, but they would potentially be your two best teams. So you might see them again in the conference championship game, and that would be good for the conference championship game because they were big brands. This was in 2005 when everyone was thinking this. A lot has changed since then. The rise of Clemson was not anticipated, and the fall of Florida State and Miami being perpetually meh was not what the league thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But the Coastal just gave us lots of entertainment because it was, I don't know, your lasting image of the Coastal Division, is it Frank Beamer?
Yes,
arms raised in triumph.
Yes, the greatest meme ever. Yes,
it's not the Coastal actually though, because that was a Virginia Tech Wake Forest game. So it was a cross division game. So, but it does really sum it all up. So, I'm gonna miss that, but I'm not gonna miss the possibility of a very bad division champ.
Yeah,
coming out and knocking off a national title contender. So I'm excited for the league. The we could run through the primary opponents. That's pretty boring pod, but we are going to hit a few of the ones. So when Matt Fortuna and I covered ACC spring meetings, we were given some information that Florida State had kind of lobbied to get Syracuse as one of its permanent opponents, and that the Orange would potentially be the logical ones for Florida State would be Clemson, Miami, and Georgia Tech. And the idea was Syracuse would replace Georgia Tech, and got a lot of pushback from the FSU fans on that. I'm like, listen, that's just what we were told. I didn't decide that. It wasn't my idea.
He went on the record saying that, right? That
like, he did. People, he did afterward. Yes.
Okay,
and so that's what they wanted to do. And so that is apparently what they got. And you know, they were down the road on this. They didn't just come up with this yesterday. They were down the road on this. So when Michael Alford said that, he knew what he was talking about. So you've got Clemson, Miami, Syracuse for Florida State. Georgia Tech, meanwhile, gets Clemson, which we figured they would, Louisville, and Wake Forest. And you mentioned you didn't know what to do with Louisville, because a lot of the old Big East teams had old Big East rivalries, and Miami and Virginia Tech were in the same league in the Big East together for that long, but it kind of did feel like they'd been rivals for a while. So that's why that one not being there feels a little bit weird. But with Louisville, like, who do you create a rivalry with? You know, Georgia Tech, I guess, makes sense. Miami, I think they're probably happy. Some of their better players have come from Miami. Teddy Bridgewater came from Miami, yeah. So they get to have a presence down there, and then they go over and play Virginia. So I don't see anything particularly egregious. When we did this last time, and our Virginia Tech beat writer, Andy Bitter, who, by the way, Andy wants everyone to know that this was his idea 9 years ago. So none of these old line ACC folks, the ACC media mafia, like Joe Giglio in the research triangle, nobody steal this, because Andy Bitter came up with this 9 years ago.
I mean, he has the receipts, I will say.
Yes. So, but we asked Andy about Virginia Tech, because I wasn't sure what to do with several programs when I was doing my hypothetical one. So for Virginia Tech, I gave them Virginia, Louisville, and Boston College. They ended up getting Pitt, Virginia, and Wake Forest. I really pissed them off by giving them Boston College. I don't know why they hate Boston. Like, and it's not a we hate them and want to play them and beat them. It's we hate them and never want to see them. So
weird.
But I'll be curious to see how happy that group is with this lineup. I think them not getting Miami is probably a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Wake only getting one of the triangle teams.
That surprised me.
Surprises me. They get Duke. You know, a lot of this and kind of the point everybody has made to talk about why divisions were so dumb and why particularly the format they had was bad was Wake having to schedule North Carolina in a non-conference home and home.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to play North Carolina every year, but they are going to play North Carolina twice every 4 years, which I guess probably is enough for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one I didn't like, though. I wanted to see Wake and NC State be paired together.
Wake NC State would be fun. I think Dave Doran would prefer never to see Wake Forest again.
That's kind of why I want to see it.
Yeah, that matchup has just been a nightmare for NC State over the last few years. So one more of those, and then you don't have to see them two out of every 4 years.
Yep.
The Textile Bowl, Clemson, NC State. I'm very glad that remains an annual affair. Just because I just like saying the phrase Textile Bowl.
It is an annual affair as well. I mean, it seems like every year something crazier happens.
Oh, yeah. Series. And I expect, I mean, that should be the game of the year in the SEC, or SEC, in the ACC this year.
Little Freudian slip.
I've moved them to the SEC. There's a secret. That's the news that's going to drop during SEC media. No, I'm just kidding.
Clemson fans will be so happy to hear that you've moved them to the SEC.
But Clemson, NC State, those on paper appear to be the two best teams in the ACC coming into the season. That feels like it's the game of the year. And look, if NC State keeps doing what they're doing, that could be the game of the year a lot of years in the ACC. So I am glad that continues to be an annual affair. And obviously Florida State, Miami needs to happen every year. So I'm glad for that. Pitt with Boston College, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech. That feels like some old Big East.
It does. It has big East energy.
I feel like all of them should have to schedule West Virginia.
Just on principle.
In the non-conference. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is good. This is exciting. And I think, you know, if you're a season ticket holder for these schools, I think the variety is going to be nice. It's going to give you some more to see. And this is what we've said with the other leagues. I mean, that really is what the SEC is going for as they try to decide. And the catch is they've got to convince the schools that don't want to go to 9 conference games to go to 9, because as a 16 team league, you can't do this with an 8-team schedule. You can't have 3 permanent opponents. You can only have 1. And if you want to have 3, you have to have a 9-game schedule where you do 3 permanent opponents and 6 rotating spots. So I think that will be probably decided sooner rather than later, and they wind up with the 9 conference games. Big Ten, they've got to work through their stuff on this too, but they're going to stay at 14. Unclear whether they stay at 9 or go back to 8, but it sounds like they're going to stay at 9.
I think I'm glad the ACC did it first, because I think they needed it the most. You know, like, just perception wise, I feel like the SEC and the Big Ten can not take their time necessarily, but I don't think anyone was under attack as much as the ACC was for lack of competition, if you will. So I'm kind of glad they went first.
Well, and I do wonder if it freshens things up. And, you know, it's funny because somebody was trying to make fun of Miami in my Twitter replies and say, well, maybe now Miami will win their first ACC title. I'm like, this actually makes it harder for them to do that.
Yeah.
They've been in the easier division the whole time. Yep. Like, They should have gotten this done before that, because now they're going to have to see somebody, you know, they're going to probably have Clemson on their schedule half the years. Mm-hmm. So they have to play them. They'll have NC State on their schedule half the years. We'll see what happens with Louisville. But if Louisville, you've seen the way Louisville has been recruiting lately.
Seriously. I mean,
Louisville, Miami annually may be a really fun game.
Maybe the SEC knew something all along.
Yeah, seriously, because obviously Miami's recruiting has perked up under Mario Cristobal, and they're determined to be a power, and they want to spend like Clemson spends and recruit like Clemson recruits and be very similar to the teams that compete for the national titles. And if they are, then this is going to get really interesting, because you're going to have, you know, maybe you would have had Miami-Clemson in your ACC title game a lot of years if you keep the divisions. But now, if Clemson is, if Miami is as good as we think they might get,
sure,
you're going to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next. Now, was there anything else that you would have liked to have seen or anything else they could? It doesn't feel like there were a lot of other format options because of the Notre Dame thing.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see some of those matchups we didn't get. And then I would say I wanted to see this earlier. Like, we had the blueprint for it in 2020 and it worked amazingly well. And so this starting in 2023 feels a little delayed to me, but, you know, better late than never.
That's right. That's exactly the ACC, better late than ever. No, but we can't say that because they're first.
This is true. They are first. This is true.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of SEC fans saying, hey, SEC office, let's go. Let's get this thing wrapped up. And that they are kind of on the clock, ditto for the Big Ten, because I would think we're going to be seeing new schedule formats. 2023 seems like the logical time to start it, because we know the 14 playoff is still going to be in effect for 2023, 2024, and 2025. But in all of these leagues, divisionless play gives you a better shot of putting multiple teams in a 14 playoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. So I will be I'll be fascinated to see what happens going forward. But congratulations to the ACC for getting it done, getting it first, and for getting the Florida State fans off my back about the Syracuse thing. I didn't do it. Matt Fortuna didn't do it. The Seminoles wanted it, and that's what they got.
Yeah, hopefully your mentions will calm down a little bit. Although your mentions are probably nuts all the time.
Enjoy your dinosaur barbecue every other year. That's what you've got to look forward to. Maybe you'll go in the first half of the season. It'll still be warm.
Yeah, that's true. Possibilities is good up there.
Possibilities is awesome from what I've heard. I've had some friends head there in the last few years, and the reports have come back great. Now, the coldest I've ever been was in Syracuse, New York. I was there for a basketball game in December of 2000. And I just remember I was visiting some people who were staying at a hotel next door to my hotel and feeling like I was going to freeze to death walking between the two hotels.
Dang, that's wild.
So it is definitely gets a little chilly. But listen, they're playing football in a dome. No big deal. You can handle it. And this is just a much more common sense thing. We will not have to see Wake Forest and North Carolina scheduling non-conference games against one another. And yeah, everybody on Tobacco Road is going to get to see everybody else on Tobacco Road. So we'll enjoy this. And now we will start pressuring the SEC and the Big Ten, and we will tear apart their decisions about the permanent opponents once they finally come up with them. But Grace, we got to talk, because your role at The Athletic has changed slightly in the past few months. You now are also covering national recruiting for us, and you've put out some incredible stories so far. First of all, who knew Massachusetts was such a recruiting stronghold these days? Like, right? It is. It's crazy. Now, I will say, you covered Clemson, so Christian Wilkins was from Massachusetts.
He
played high school ball at a school in Connecticut, but was a Massachusetts native. So was he kind of the godfather of all this?
I was thinking about that as I was reporting this. I was like, when was the last time I recognized a top prospect from Massachusetts? And probably just the recency bias and also the fact that I was on Clemson regularly, it was Christian Wilkins. But yeah, I remember our recruiting editor, Mitch Light, sending me a message being like, have you looked at these Massachusetts numbers and the number of top 300 kids that they're pumping out? And lo and behold, Massachusetts has become its own little small factory, including producing who a lot of people think has the best offensive lineman in the country in Samson. I can never say his last name. Okunlola.
Yeah. He's looking at Alabama, Miami, and Michigan State.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knew?
Well, and the thing is, they're willing to go anywhere because, yes, you know, the Boston College is in state for them. But, you know, a lot of New England and in the Northeastern states, state lines, it's interesting to me growing up in the South, like state lines don't seem to mean as much to folks in the Northeast, because like you can go for a drive and you may drive through three different states. Sure. Like I live in Florida. You can actually drive for 17 hours and still be in Florida if you wanted to drive from Pensacola to Key West. So yeah. It's a very different mindset. And how much of it is that, you know, there's some elite private schools in Massachusetts and folks coming from other states to play football, but also take advantage of that education where when they do go to play college football, they have a lot of options open to them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some of these elite private schools in New England and Massachusetts have also invested into their football programs a little bit more. So now their strength and conditioning program is not completely behind like it was in the past. And now the turf fields allow them to play some of these games. That was one of the things that blew my mind, is just if you're playing in a state championship game and it gets canceled because of the snow, that's like the best stage for you to get recruited at and show out at, and you can't play in this game because of the weather. So I think they've made a lot of progress there. And I think there's been a little bit of a domino effect. And then someone pointed this out in our comments, which I thought was a really interesting perspective that we did not touch on. But also you just look at the success of the Patriots and it really coincides with these kids growing up. So, you know,
that's true. I mean, they've known nothing but the Patriots winning all the time.
Yeah, they're born in what? The average recruit was born in 2004, if you're 16.
Yeah. So when they were born, the Patriots were already winning titles. I mean, and Tom Brady took them to that first one because the Rams were supposed to repeat, and then Tom Brady and the Patriots beat them, and that sort of started the dynasty.
Yeah.
And that was the 2001 season, which is...
So yeah, right when they're...
Making me feel very old.
Some of them would have been born. Some of them would have been...
Yeah. So all they've ever known is dominance from the Pats. So all of a sudden now they can play too. Hey, listen, you got to go where the players are. And if they're popping up in Massachusetts, then absolutely go get them. And listen, they're probably willing to go play for any schools in the country too. So that's one thing I've talked to Ari about, and I'm curious to get your take on it. Ari and I had this discussion on Tuesday's show where we were looking at where the top quarterbacks were going. And it feels like that logjam is getting a little bit broken up. And maybe with the other position players, it's not as much, but that it's not all Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's exciting, but and good for college football. But yeah, I mean, even like now that the dust has settled on Arch Manning, I think it makes a lot of sense. And in a lot of ways, it makes a lot of sense that he's going to Texas. But if you just look at Texas's record last year and you just look at it on paper, you know, I think people think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, he's going to Alabama. No question. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because I do think if – you've got different schools. If there's, you know, an outlier in the top three every year, and it's a different outlier, then the distribution of players changes. The depth of some of these really good, you know, every year contender programs goes down a little bit, and it goes up a little bit at the ones that are kind of on the cusp. And suddenly, it's not the same four schools. So I hope that's the case. But we're seeing a lot of recruiting announcements. We saw Jaden Rashada the other day do a live announcement and commit to Miami. We've Arch Manning's, I laugh about because he just, all he did was tweet, "I'm committed to Texas." Amazing. And that was it. But you did a story last week that I loved because it brought back so many fun memories of recruiting announcements. And I know the early signing period, it feels like, has changed this in terms of how people commit and how they announce. But you talked about some of the more unforgettable ones. And I had forgotten about Deontay Anderson committing to Ole Miss while skydiving.
So epic, right? And not telling his mom either. Like, can you imagine as a parent, your kid doing that and not telling you?
No, I'd kill him.
Although,
if you survive, I'm going to kill you. Golly. Well, how did that happen? Like, how did he decide to do that?
Yeah. So he was going to do it at the, you know, Under Armour game in Orlando on ESPN. And I think a couple of Bleacher Report people came up to him. This was kind of when the commitment videos were really on the rise.
When they got really crazy in the Bleacher Report.
Really crazy. Yeah. Yes. And they basically, like, Bleacher Report kind of pitched it to him and was like, we want to, you know, do you want to do something? And he had told them, yes, if I make a video, I want it to blow up the internet. Like, that was something that he was very clear he wanted to do. And then they asked about skydiving. He thought at first they meant indoor skydiving. And they were like, nope, let's do it outside. Wow. And he did it. He was with his dad. So dad knew. And he told mom about 15, 20 minutes before. And all the logistics were figured out. And he pops out of this plane. And at that point, you know, you're free falling and commits to Ole Miss when he lands.
That is amazing. It was, like, hey, he had like a hottie toddy shirt on. Yes. Underneath. And
yep.
Golly. And you mentioned Isaiah Crowell with the bulldog puppy when he committed to Georgia, which was good. I had forgotten about the dude who committed to Florida with a dwarf caiman. He was from Cincinnati. And Ohio state law prohibited possession of an alligator.
Yes.
So he used a dwarf caiman. I've not seen. Now, the one I never want to see just because of safety concerns is a Florida A&M live animal mascot commitment. Yes. I don't want to see anybody bring a rattlesnake to a
That's
commitment.
That's fair. But, well, the caiman made me kind of, well, not, I shouldn't say maybe mad, but like I called Cool Critters Outreach, the service that provided the dwarf caiman. I contacted them probably three times and this dude would not talk to me. And I was so upset because I was like, this is the greatest story ever. Like he can't have an alligator. You gave him this caiman. Like, how did this happen? But he didn't answer.
Well, you know, listen, I've seen enough stories about people who have exotic animals in Ohio and their exotic animals getting loose that I'm not sure I'd want to get my name out there if I'm a known Ohioan with a lot of exotic animals.
That's fair.
We'll be right back after these words.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
You also had a few tales of when things didn't exactly go right. The one I'll never forget is Landon Collins and his mom. When Landon Collins decided he was going to Alabama and announced this, his mom, who really wanted him to go to LSU, could not hide her displeasure. And this was on national, this was on ESPN.
Yes. Yes. That one was wild. And it was really interesting to sort of get the backstory of what had gone on before the announcement. So I guess there was a little bit of drama too, just in the lead up to it, the commercial break, the production side of it, trying to figure out who was going to stand where. And Landon's mom, I think, since wrote a piece saying that she had gotten into an argument with his girlfriend's family. But you just find out all of these things that are happening before you see this on camera. And I think it makes a little bit more sense, the context of it, but yeah, still a very wild, bizarre, did I just watch this?
Oh, you also mentioned one that I covered. I was just finishing up as a student at Florida when this happened. It was the February of my senior year. Jonathan Colon was an offensive lineman from Miami.
Ooh, yes.
And he faxed signed letters of intent to Miami and Florida. And I believe Florida got him because their timestamp, they faxed that one first.
Was first.
So that one counted. I think that's where he eventually decided that's where he actually wanted to go. But I can't remember what the exact scenario was, but there was a guidance counselor at the school who, I guess, mistakenly faxed the other one, not realizing that one had already been faxed.
Had been sent.
Yeah. But that's there's another South Florida one. And you talked to the legend Larry Bluestein, one of the greatest high school sports reporters of all time, about this. But Alex Collins, former Arkansas running back Alex Collins, his mom stole his letter of intent, basically.
Yes. I mean, all of a sudden, like, what I would have given to have been a fly on the wall. And our Miami writer, Manny Navarro, was there, and he was very helpful in pulling up his old clips and what he wrote and just kind of telling me how this all went down. But yes, I mean, he had to have a parent signature because he was under 21. So he had to have the parent signature. And when she wouldn't do it, his dad ended up doing it the next day. But yeah, I mean, just a really dicey situation where you think this is happening. And then not only is it not happening, but she's taken off with the letter.
I'd never heard of the one where Rice sent a player's cat he picked Rice because they sent his cat a letter.
Yes. Isn't that incredible? Like, I can't decide how. Okay, I would be interested to get how you feel about this.
Okay.
Like if you come up with this idea and or you write this letter, do you think you're like the most creative person ever? Or when you go home and your wife is like, Andy, how was your day? And you're like, I wrote a letter to a cat. Like, whatever, do you love it or hate it?
Like Kirby Smart essentially said in the post Florida Georgia game quote that ultimately got Dan Mullen fired. It ain't about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and Joes. You can't outcoach talent, I believe, is what Kirby Smart said.
It's true.
If I got to write a letter to a cat, I'm going to write a letter to a cat. Now,
I mean, it worked. Rice got him.
Yes. Yes. Now, who did they get him away from who refused to write the letter to the cat is what I wonder.
That's a great question. And the cat was, it was named White Sox because of just the...
Had white paws. Feet.
Yeah. And it was like this whole thing. Like the letter had a cat paw print on it. It was addressed to the cat.
JT yeah. Granato. That's how they landed him. Wow. That is tremendous. And yeah, I might have to look myself in the mirror pretty hard on the day that I wrote the cat the letter. But as long as it works, I'm good with it.
It did work, yes.
And then you brought up another one in this story that my first year at SI, so I got hired at Sports Illustrated in 2008 as a recruiting writer. They wanted me to cover college football and college basketball recruiting. So on that first signing day there's a story out of Fernley, Nevada, that this kid, Kevin Hart, not related to the comic, he's much larger, had signed with Cal. Like he'd picked Cal.
Yep.
He put the hat on and everything. The only problem was Cal had no idea who he was. He'd apparently picked Cal over Oregon, he said, but neither one of them had actually recruited him. He had played high school football, but hadn't been very good. And so no one was actually recruiting him. Now, he ended up playing JUCO ball somewhere. Like there was a big ESPN the magazine story on him a couple years later. But I just remember thinking, what on earth would possess you?
To do this.
Like the TV station was there.
Gym was packed. Yeah. Yes. It was like a whole ceremony. Yeah. That one was wild.
You have to know at some point somebody's going to find out. And it's probably going to be today. Why are you? Because that sort of thing doesn't happen just out of the blue. You have to tell somebody you're going to do this.
Right.
Like, and how does this high school coach?
Someone has to buy the hats.
Right. But how does the high school coach not go, wait a second.
Right.
You're not being recruited by Cal.
Right.
We can't have this thing in the gym.
Right. Right. Well, and he resigned a month later, the high school coach did. But yeah, I mean, it was like a whole shebang and called a whole thing and everything was, that's just what he decided to do.
I mean, now it's interesting because that took, I'd say about half a day to completely unravel.
Yeah.
It would have unraveled in with less than a minute now.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Definitely. Like, can you imagine the tweets now? Oh my gosh. Twitter would be amazing.
So the TV station would have tweeted a clip saying, hey, Kevin Hart of Fernley has just committed to Cal. And immediately people were like, who? What? Like, you'd had a statement from Jeff Tedford.
Immediately.
While we're sure Kevin Hart is a fine young man, we've not been recruiting him and he's not signing with us today.
Yep.
What the? Yeah. I just, because there's, I'm sure there's that moment where you're doing it, you're putting the hat on and everybody's cheering.
Right.
And you're soaking that in and it's great. But you have to have in the back of your mind, this is all coming crashing down within the next 24 hours.
Yep. Well, and that was the thing Tedford talked about. He was like, he found out a recruiting reporter had actually called him and was going through the class and was like, wait, you're holding out on me. You're not telling me about this one other person. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. It all comes out. But that was one of the things that he had said in our interview was he was like, I just could not figure out how he thought this was going to end. Like, what did he think was going to happen? To your point, like, okay, the crowd leaves. You've got this cow hat on your on your head. Like, what's next?
I mean, it's almost like Andy Kaufman-esque performance art. Like, but I don't think that's what that guy was going for.
Yeah. I don't know if he got caught up in the excitement of it or the, you know, the ego that comes with recruiting.
I don't think you could do it today. Like, because there have been people in the past who've had like made up recruits, and like there were some newspaper reporters who did a little practical joke where they made up a recruit and got him listed somewhere, and some coach from one school actually drove to some fictional high school drove to an address to try to find him. But that was years and years ago. If you don't have a 24/7 profile now, like
right
immediately, it's a story one of two ways. Either you're not really being recruited and you're making this up, or you're the greatest like hidden gem in the history of the world and somebody's been sitting on you and nobody managed to find you.
Yep.
But this is so crazy. But yeah, I just cannot believe you would go through with all of the, like when you wake up that morning and you know you've scheduled this thing in the gym,
what's happening?
You still have time to pull the ripcord.
Yes. For sure. And you can pull it in a way that's not, hey, I just architected this entire scheme, you know, just.
Yeah. Hey, they called. It turns out there's a scholarship crunch.
Yeah, for sure.
They don't have a spot for me anymore. We don't need to do this. I'm sorry to have wasted your time. When's breakfast?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and can you imagine too, I read somewhere in some of the archives that I was going through, like all of the local coaches are like, wait, How do we miss this kid? Like a lot of coaches are like, this kid's in our backyard. Like, how did we miss him? Yeah. Cal and Oregon are coming after him.
It's and that is how that worked. Like, I do remember hearing Nick Saban tell the story, like when they were recruiting Josh Jacobs, who was in Tulsa, did not have offers from the Oklahoma schools at the time, was not being heavily recruited. Like Nick Saban asked his assistants, go figure out what's wrong with this guy. Because when I watch the video, he looks like the player, the kind of player we want. So could you figure out why? And when they couldn't, they were like, no, we're offering him. And then everybody else offered him too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. And I do, I remember Dan Mullen when he was at Mississippi State telling me one time that he's like, there's some high schools in this state that you can't find with a GPS. So can still occasionally have a player who is somewhat
on the radar.
Chris Jones might be an example of that, because Chris Jones was he was a prospect. People knew who he was. He was a 3-star guy, but then he goes to the Army All-American Bowl and immediately gets bumped to a 5-star because everyone's like, whoa, this guy's awesome. But by that point, he'd been committed to Mississippi State for so long and he was good. So other schools came in, but he's like, nah, I'm good. But I just don't think you can do that now.
I don't think you can pull it off.
Fly under the radar. And if you did the made up thing, you would be found out in, because some kid at your high school would go, bro, you don't have a 24/7 profile. Right. Like, you're not.
Right.
And so, but wow, I'll never forget the picture of him in that cow hat on the stage, like with the tie on and just looking at the crowd like, oh, wow. I did this, didn't I? Okay.
I know, gosh, what I would have given to have been a fly on the wall in the like ensuing 45 seconds.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause it's going to blow up. So Grace, I don't know that we're ever going to get another one of those, but I'm sure we'll get some more wild commitments. We may get, who knows, maybe Arch Manning will be the new prototype. Maybe now everybody will say, well, Arch did this. So the only thing you can do that's cool is for your first post on some social media service to be that you committed to this school and you never say anything again.
Then you bounce. That's what I want to know. Like, what were the Twitter, like, what is the Twitter record for number of retweets on a first post? Like, he has to be up there, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because I would assume, so whoever was, I think, you know, you've had presidents on Twitter.
Yep.
You've had, you've obviously got Justin Bieber, that type of person.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what his first tweet was, but I'm sure it got considerable traction. But no, this may be close to a record for retweets and likes and traffic on a first tweet.
High school student, Arch Manning, high school student.
Yeah. And I looked the other day, he still only had like 53,000 followers.
I looked before he committed and he had like 17 or something.
And he never actually tweeted anything.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Let's see what he's up to now.
What is he at now? I mean, I think I'm one of them. I don't know. I probably am.
Well, and the Manning family machine makes sure he got verified.
60K.
So yeah, 60,000. So he was verified before he ever sent a tweet.
Following zero people.
Jay Billis style.
Yes. Literally none.
Yeah. Arch Manning does not need to read your nonsense. He's just here to throw footballs. This is tremendous. Yes. Please don't, all recruits, please don't follow that example. It's refreshing every once in a while, but we really need you skydiving and pulling out reptiles and that sort of thing.
Yes.
So it's for our entertainment more than anything else. So Grace, it's been a pleasure. I'm excited to see the flow of anger from the Florida State fans stop. Not my fault. You're playing Syracuse every year now, but enjoy it.
And I am happy for you.
Congratulations to the Virginia Tech fans. You do not have to play Boston College every year. I don't know why that angered you so, but I'm glad you don't have to do it. It has been a pleasure. Stars Matter with Ari and Mitch tomorrow. And we'll talk to you again on Friday.